What up, though? This is Kurt Steele, and welcome inside a special Die Hard Den podcast / Detroit Sports Room. And I'm going to welcome in my man, Shawnee J.
Hey, what's up, guys?
And our actual special co-host for today, my man, Jim from Detroit Sports Room.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I always love talking football, so you got me at the right time, at the right place.
It is definitely, I can't wait for the season to start. Someone posted on Facebook, I can smell football coming.
Yes.
So football is on the horizon. So, but you know how we do it, as we always do it this time. It is time to tell me something good. So this week, first up, tell me something good. For myself, the Lions, definitely doing their part in the political process, not really politicizing, but they're giving people the opportunity to safely exercise their constitutional right to vote by turning Ford Field, which is behind me, into a polling place where people can social distance and cast their ballots in a safe way. So kudos to the Detroit Lions for going out and doing that, saying, hey, putting it out there. You can come to Ford Field and cast your ballot. So thank you to the Detroit Lions for allowing people to do that in a safe manner. Shawnee J, what you got?
Well, what I have is, since the Lions announced that you can't, and I have fans live at Ford Field for the first two games, you can buy cardboard cutouts of yourself and put them in the stands. And all the money, all the proceeds go to charity. So that's something, you know, it's a creative way to raise money for charity. So that's my tell us something good.
All right. So, Jim, I know it's personal for you, but please, my man, tell me something good.
But yeah, former Lion Amani Bryant received a kidney transplant from an anonymous donor. Yeah, kidney disease ended his career in 2018. I've had a transplant myself, so kidney disease is no joke. Both my kidneys fail at like 12% in one, 5 blood transfusions on the day I get into ER from work. So it was, I almost died 3 times from this. I have a kidney now. I had 3.5 years of dialysis. And the kidney surgery itself is not a picnic. It is very difficult. It's very hard to acclimate yourself back to normal life. And it's an amazing gift when you get the gift of life. And that's what he got right there.
Hey, that's amazing, my man. Hey, we're so glad that for myself and Shawnee did that you were able to come through that on the other side. That's a blessing, my man. And we appreciate you. Jim is a big friend of the show. I've been on his platform before, so this is his first time actually, you know, appearing us together just on our platform. So and we're honored to have you, and thank you so much for coming on. So
I appreciate you reaching out, man. We've had so many good conversations about all this stuff. Oh, it's been so much fun. We're just gonna keep doing it, man. That's what I think. We'll just keep back and forth, you know, helping each other out and just talking Lions football. That's what we got to do, man.
That's what we got to do. So, Jim, what do you want to talk about right now?
Well, for me, I'm looking at this new extension from Taylor Decker. Absolutely a good deal for us. I know it sounds bad, but we're going to save $2.35 million on the cap this year. It's an extended thing. It's a 6-year deal, but the 6-year is an option, so they can opt out. So it could only be a 5-year deal. They say Taylor Decker is doing an amazing job in camp, that he improves every year, that his football IQ is improving, and they feel their starting left tackle. It's their franchise guy now. So he needs to live up to that expectation. Do I think he's top 5 right now? No, not yet. But he could get there. He could get there. Got a good offensive line coach now, and I think that's a huge deal for us.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the video earlier in the offseason where he had the press conference early in the camp where he talked about Hank Fraley. He's very high on Hank. Mm-hmm. You know, former offensive lineman himself in the league. I think he played like 11 seasons in the NFL. Yep. So Taylor Decker is really high on him, and I think he can learn from him. And I think that him being the assistant last year gives him some continuity with the guys for this season. and then he's able to work fresh with the new guys. So the veterans can kind of school the young guys on how he is and what he wants. So I think Taylor Decker has the ability to be a really good. He's not top five. I think he was in the top 10 in PFF last year. So he was a high rated. I mean, still, even with some of his downfalls, he still had a pretty good season last year. And he improves time and time again. So I just want him to live up to the expectations of that. It is a good deal. And a lot of the stuff is voidable. So, you know, at the end of the year, you know, Quinn can go in with a pen stroke and say, all right, I'm gonna void it out. And hey, you got to hit the road. But I don't
think just on that last year, though, on that sixth year, he's got a out clause in there. So, but, and they've been doing that with a lot of the contracts they've been signing lately.
I just like the fact that, you know, and it wasn't a bad price either.
No.
It wasn't a bad price. So I think we got him for the hometown discount. So, but now it's time for, and my man 313 JMO says, pay Kenny Golladay. So
yes.
What you got on the Taylor Decker deal?
I liked it. You know, the Taylor, okay. I had high hopes for him coming in, forming the one pick for 2016 for us. A lot of people didn't like the deal. I heard Mike Valente, he just went off on the Lions or saying, I don't know if you heard him. He just went off. Valente, he liked the Lions well as paid.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but what you going to do? Valente's got him people for Lions for not paying people, and he gets on for paying people, so he can't have it both ways. Tell me, if you sign Taylor, who do you have at left tackle right now? I mean, who could you go out and get? And what define what makes an elite left tackle? Is that a guy who doesn't allow quarterback sacks at all? Or define the elite left tackle? That's just hard to define because he has no tangible numbers like, you know, 1,500 yards rushing or receiving or 50 touchdowns. So how should you define the elite left tackle? I guess everybody gets up a sack now and then.
Right.
So
how sacks, do you penalties. You know, that type of thing, what you're really looking for.
Kick blocks, stuff like that.
Yep.
But I'm happy. I like Taylor, even though he's a former Buckeye and I'm a diehard Wolverine. That's okay. I still like some Buckeyes, like Chris Spielman's my favorite all time.
Yep, mine
Dick
too.
Dick LeBeau, William White. Yeah, and I'm hoping for
Jeff Okuda.
You know, he's struggling. We talk about him later. It's brought in his podcast. He's supposed to be struggling, and Amani Arori is supposed to be outplaying him right now. So anyway, back to Taylor. I'm glad he got the money. He got, he's getting paid. Kansas City Lions are cheap on this. Now it's up to him to come through. I post about this in our group.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's I think that the Lincoln Lions got a pretty good deal out of that. The Taylor Decker signing. I like the signing. It keeps, and here's the really deal for me. It keeps a lineman that's a good, solid lineman in front of Matthew Stafford.
Exactly.
It keeps a guy like that in front of Stafford. And I think Stafford, you know, he has a deal where he likes who he likes. I know he really has a good, strong relationship with Frank Ragnow. So, and that developed really quickly over the, you know, he's only been there a couple of years. So, but Taylor Decker's a good guy. So
I think also it helps that he's been here for so long and knows the system and knows the facility. He knows what he's doing out there. So it's like he can only get better.
Yeah.
Jim, do you agree with Vince's rants? He's overpaid, you know.
I try not to listen to a Giants fan talking about the Lions, but I'll give it its due. Valeni don't like the Lions. Let's just put it out there the way it is. Everything we do, he crucifies. And a lot of times, you know what? We do stupid moves. I don't think this is one of them, you know? So I don't know. I guess I take his stuff with a grain of salt because that's what he does. That's his shtick. You know, he sits there and he just murders the Lions over and over and over again, you know, but he's a Giants fan. So he doesn't really have that much room to talk.
I've actually had a conversation with him. And he says, what did he say? He said he, he said he gives it to the Giants when he, you know, so he said we don't have a shot in hell. If he talks that bad about his own team, the Lions don't have a chance in hell.
And the Spartans too. Spartans.
Yeah,
you know, the Spartans too.
Yeah, you know, yeah, because he went to the University of he went to Michigan State himself, so he's a Michigan State grad, so he went to their journalism school. So, I mean, it's all good, you know. But he says he's not paid to like the Lions; he's paid to cover them, and he's going to cover them the way he covers them. So, one thing, next, kind of just a little topic I want to talk about. And we'll get to it more a little more in depth a little bit later. But DeAndre Swift with some nagging injuries. That's a concern for some people.
Yes.
I don't think it's too serious. I think that the Lions are doing, and it's, I think it's a smart move where they're saying, hey, okay, we're gonna ease you back and we're gonna make sure you're ready for the season. There's no reason to bring you out in camp and, you know, risk you get injured again, or just have that risk of you hurting yourself. So we're going to just keep you on the sidelines, just keep you and make sure you're ready for the start of the season. That's just my opinion. That's what I think. But I could be wrong. But what do you got to what do you think, John?
I think this is a bigger deal than what people think. When your offensive coordinator comes out and says, yes, this is going to hurt you because you're missing snaps, you're a rookie, you didn't really have mini camp, we had no preseason. The less he's out there, the worse it is for him, and I think the less snaps he gets going into the season.
Johnny?
Yeah. Like I said, you remember, guys, who I really wanted the Lions to take, Jonathan Taylor. I'll stay by that.
Me too.
I want a Taylor. I was the first one to say I want a Taylor. I said, I was upset, my frustration. I said, damn it, Queen took the wrong running back. You remember I posted that in the group. Yeah. You know, I want a Taylor. But I had Hiles and Swift because that's the guy we took.
I picked the other guy. I said J.K. Dobbins. That's what I said.
And he went
I
to
want
the
a Taylor badly. And, yeah. But like, this is why I said we should go after Fournette, because, okay, he has neck injuries too, but he's played. He has 2,000-yard rushing seasons. I don't know what Jacksonville's thinking when they cut him. They say it's a little bit of a locker room cancer, but who isn't? If T.O. in his prime was available, we want the Lions to go after him in his prime, not an old T.O. at 47 still want to play. I'm talking about a 20-year-old T.O. So go after, and Fournette's only 25 years old. He cleared waivers. Just like Clowney and some of these other guys, I would still go to Fournette for this very reason. And, you know, he's entry bar, you know, those guys we have, Kerryon and Swift, and even my boy Bo Scarborough, all injury prone. What's it about these SEC running backs? I don't know. But I think
you're getting beat up.
Fournette. That's another one. Fournette's another one. He's a LSU guy.
Yep.
So,
I want to say something about this real quick. You were asking the question about what Jacksonville's thinking and what's New Orleans think? New Orleans thinking about making Alvin Kamara available through trade. I'm going to tell you what this is about. I'll tell you why. Because the salary cap, people, is not going up. It's going to go down or stay steady. The thing is, the Lions, if they keep every penny they have right now, they'll break even next year.
Yep.
Just break even. New Orleans Saints are in trouble. Jacksonville's got a problem, too. That's why they have to cut all these players. That's why they traded Ngakoue. Well, one of the reasons. But then they have to cut a lot of players. And watch New Orleans. They're going to be cutting major talent because they are so far over the cap. It's crazy.
Yeah. And
they're a good team, this cap.
I think one of the from what I can tell and from what some of the reports are saying is that Kamara was a little upset because they re-signed Taysom Hill before they re-signed him. And they re-signed this, so they re-signed the backup quarterback before they re-signed or gave him the decision
to start running back.
Yeah, and watch, they're only looking for draft picks for him too. I guarantee you.
Yeah,
most because I'm just saying, in the next 2 years, you're going to start seeing Indianapolis is going to be a major they're going to be really, really good in a few years. Why? Yeah. Because they have all this salary cap money, and they already got all kinds of good players.
Yeah.
They've got the ability to go sign all these guys that everybody's got to cut.
Yeah, their offensive
line. So, Jim, how can you have filled a good football team if you got to cut your good players because of salary cap?
You can't, but the Lions have been rolling over their salary cap every year trying to prepare for this stuff.
Yeah.
And so that's why we've been decent in cap amount every single year. You remember when we had, I think it was Mayhew or somebody else, where we were in cap hell, like every year we couldn't sign anybody. Yeah. We had to get rid of people. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The Calvin Johnson deal and the
Dominican Sue
deal. And yeah. It was in Stafford's deal. Yeah. So
we're sitting good.
The Lions salary cap guy is one of the best guys in the league.
Came from Arizona.
Yeah, so he's one of the best in the business at doing that. So yeah, I had to give it up to Rod Wood and Bob Quinn for making sure that guy's on the staff. Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, it's like everybody wants us to sign all these players, Leonard Fournette, all these other people. To be honest with you, I'd rather they didn't. And I hate to say that, but we have a lot of running backs on this roster. And don't sleep on Jason Huntley. I'm going to say it here first. That dude is going to be good. I'm just telling you first.
He's the draft pick we traded to Seattle, get from Seattle for your boy.
Nino.
Yes.
Quandre Diggs.
Yeah, he's a guy.
For Nino. That's my guy right there. I like Nino.
Yes, and William Harris was the guy we got in return for trading Golden Tate away, the third round pick. So those guys really come through for us.
No, yeah. I agree. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I think Jason Huntley could be special. I know he has speed to burn. This dude is really fast. I think Ty Johnson's fast, but he has the vision of Stevie Wonder. I mean, that dude, he can't find the hole if he had a flashlight. That's the problem with him. He can't get an open space. If he gets an open space, that dude's good, but he can't. Jason Huntley has vision, and Jason Huntley has explosion, and that dude is going to be really, really good.
Yeah. Speaking of guys that are really good, one of the big surprises for me, and it shouldn't be, but how well the reports are that Jamal Agnew is doing on the offensive side of the ball in camp. They say he is really turning some heads.
He's balling.
Shawnee J knows this. I was the one who preached, put him on offense. I want him to be a Deion. No, he's not a Deion Sanders guy. He can do returns. I said, put him on offense. That's where he's going to shine. And I think that's where it's going to happen.
I give it to you. You're right on that. So far in camp, let's see if he can do it another season.
I would say this. In the offseason, I follow him on social media, and he's taken to the role. So he's working out with Stafford in the offseason, getting some passes, and he's catching it from his quarterback. So because some guys can go catch passes and they're just catching it from anybody. But he wanted to make sure he's catching it from the guy who's going to be throwing him the ball.
Exactly.
That's a veteran move on his part.
I made this comparison. He wore the same numbers. Another Lion legend, Leonard Thompson. Remember Leonard? He's a former running back.
He was a wide receiver.
Yes. He started off as a running back, though. But they moved him to receiver. Yes. Took advantage of his speed.
I remember watching him.
That's just going to be weird to see 39 lined up out there wide.
I think he's going to get a different number. I don't know, but.
Well,
Thompson all over again.
No, he can get grandfathered in, just like what was the running back that played at Green Bay?
Could he?
Yep.
He might want a different number, though. You never know. We'll see how that develops, but he's killing linebackers over the middle right now.
The guy that was a wide receiver in
88. I know you're talking about.
He was 88, and he kept his number. And then, what was his name? Devin Hester, for the Bears. He kept 23. He went over to the office and kept 23. So, who has in camp, guys? Who's been in camp that you've been surprised their report has looked so good coming out of camp? Like that they're raving about the person in camp.
Who do you want to go first?
Go ahead, Shawnee.
Well, we just, my boy, I also like, everybody's a boy, but I like the Wisconsin receiver, Quintez Cephas. Now, we know all he's been through history. And like I said, he had a poor 40 time in the combine. It was only a 4.748 or something, which is very slow for a wide receiver. But like, you know, he's faster than his 40 time. He's strong, showing good hands, good athletic ability, catch the ball in traffic. I like him. And plus, amazingly, after he went through his trial last year, his last year's Wisconsin, remember, he didn't work out with Wisconsin either. He had no off-season condition with the Badgers. He spent all summer in trial. 2 weeks later, he's playing football and balling. So I don't know how he did that. But they say he's looking good, and I have high hopes for Quintez Cephas.
Okay. Jim, who you got?
You know, the easy answer is Amani Awarier, but I'm going to go with Jonah Jackson. Jonah Jackson starting at left guard, or right guard, I think, from the start, day one. And nobody's been able to move him from that spot. The kid is balling. Kid is balling.
Here we go. We'll get to Bo later.
He's not starting. Yeah, we went through this. Remember when we went through this and I said I had my starting five and it's pretty close. Mm. It's actually really, really close to what they're doing right now.
Yeah.
Jim, you think Bo, like I said, me and Curtis go this all the time. His credentials come out of college.
Do I think Bo is going to take Jonah Jackson? No, I don't.
See what now?
I don't think he's going to take Jonah Jackson. I think he's going to be the backup center.
Well, as long as he makes the team and maybe start in 2021, but his credentials come out of college. The number one running back, I'm running greater guard. I come out of college, All-American, started 50 games. He wasn't even drafted. That kind of perplexed me.
Me too, actually. And I don't think he's bad, but I just, you drafted Jonah Jackson in the third round. I think if he's good enough, he has to start.
He got to start. All right. So Jonah Jackson, that's what you got.
Yeah.
You know who I'm going to say? And I've watched a little bit of film that the Lions have released. My man Marvin Jones is balling in camp.
Yeah, he is.
Marvin Jones is balling. You see that ridiculous one hand grab he had? Man, Marvin Jones, he's if you look at his physique is he really worked in the offseason. He put that heel in that sand pit in his house out there in California.
Yes, he did.
And he really worked on his body this offseason. He put the gym in. And we know how he is with his family, but he makes sure he took that time out to deal with his family and bond with his family during the offseason. But he makes sure he got his body in shape. And that's one thing I really liked. And he's coming into camp really to me, he is standing out among the receivers, just hands out. And then a shout out to my man. I say this all the time. I think he's one of the best guys in the league at his position. Stafford's going to Stafford, and Stafford is in up in camp. That pass he made that came out video the other day. The two passes, the one that was like the long bomb down the field with the flick of the wrist, and then the pass he had to T.J. Hockenson, splitting those defenders. And he announced it today, so we'll get to that later on. We'll talk about Stafford later on, but Stafford going to Stafford. Defensive side of the ball, who you got standing out, Jim?
I got Danny Shelton. Danny Shelton went up against Frank Ragnow and beat him. And Frank Ragnow, I think, is a top 10 center in the league already.
He is. Best center in the league.
So I'm just saying that's impressive for me. Mm-hmm. That's very impressive for me. And I'm glad because we need that. We just signed a new defensive tackle. I think it's Huggins or something like that.
Yeah, they got him off waivers.
Yeah, got him off waivers. And he's really good too. He's going to be a good backup. We really needed that depth. But I love Danny Shelton right now. He's a big dude, and he's not bad at all. I was very impressed.
Okay. What you got, Shawnee J?
But a guy we mentioned earlier in this podcast, Arroyer, the guy from Penn State, a guy, they say he's out actually outplaying our number one draft pick, Okuda. He, you know, it was just very surprising because, like you said, if his teammate, the offensive lineman we just talked about, was drafted number three, well, if you're third overall in the draft, you're expected to start right away. Like you say, well, he's a rookie and he plays defensive back. It takes time. No, you drafted a high, you're expected to start right away. But he's been outplayed by a fifth round pick from last year. And Arroyo came in with a chip in the shoulder. As soon as he saw him draft Jeffrey, I mean, okay, it'd be great to have two good young cornerbacks for the future. But right now, Arroyo is ahead of Okuda and all the other young guys. So he's a defensive guy who stands out for me.
Okay. My man he's just building on what he started last season. And I got number 21, Tracy Walker.
Tracy Walker
has had some good battles with TJ Hawkinson in camp. If you watched him in the offseason, he really was dedicated to just like Marvin Jones, making sure his body was ready for football. And looking at some of the workout videos he posted, even with the trauma of dealing with the loss of his idol growing up, his older cousin, Ahmaud Arbery, he really focused on making sure that his body was ready coming into camp. He's got a baby on the way, him and his wife. Congratulations to him and Bella. That's some big things. But Tracy Walker is my guy. So
I like that too.
Yeah. So let's talk about Corey Unlin for a minute. Unlin has been given the keys on a leash. That's how I say it.
It's a good one.
He's been given the play calling duties from Matt Patricia, but it's at a cost where it's he's given a amount of plays or plays he can call during the game. And these are the plays you can call. So he can call plays, but if it ain't on the sheet, he can't call it. So that's, you know, that's it. Like I say, keys on a leash. You know what I'm saying? You can pull them out and like the little janitor, and then just snap back in. If they can get out of order. what do you think about that, Jim, with the keys on a leash to the Porsche?
Yeah, I think this is, I got a different take on this. I think that this frees Matt Patricia up to actually think about what he's supposed to be doing as a head coach. Like, I hate to say this, but he's had some awful clock management gaffes in the last few years. Yeah. His use of timeouts is terrible. He's 12 men on the field quite a bit. I don't like any of that. So calling a timeout and we're about ready to get a touchdown. There's some things that need work. You know what I mean? In his head coaching stint, he's got a very competent offensive coordinator now in Darrell Bevell. And now he's given the keys to Corey Unlin. Yeah, it's his defense and they're going to talk about it throughout the week and he's going to get permission to do what he's going to do. But that frees him up game day to make in-game adjustments and do the things that he is supposed to be doing for this team and this defense and offense and changing things up if it's not working and, you know, making adjustments at halftime. And that's one of the biggest things I've seen with this team. They'd make terrible halftime adjustments. Third quarter was probably the worst quarter for the Lions all year long. Come out flat all the time. If they had the lead, they were giving it up. Mm-hmm. I don't like a lot of his in-game decisions, and he's had to grow as a coach. And I think he's made the decision that, you know, maybe that's just a little bit too much on my plate, and I need to hand it off to somebody else, which is the sign of somebody that's smart. And let's hope he's turning the corner here.
Yeah, go ahead, Sean.
I agree with Jim. This is coaching decisions have been questionable. That's why you got to trust your staff, your coordinators, and the rest of your assistant coaches to help you out. Let them do the coaching. Let them take some pressure off of you. Hopefully a good president, I'm not going to say their names, but a president, you know, in charge, he surrounds himself with good people. He'll give some good advice, he'll make decisions. So like it's hopefully a new president, or if somebody gets reelected, he'll make better choices than he did his first term. I'm supporting whoever the president is, and I support whoever the coach is for the Lions. You may not be the popular choice, but this, you know, he's who we have to deal with, he's who we have to live with and roll with, and we just hope that he can do his job successfully. He's on a hot seat, that Patricia, that is. He's on a hot seat. He knows it. So hopefully he's surrounding himself with good people. He listens. He won't be so stubborn. He's willing to listen. He learned from the past. He's no Bill Belichick. There's only one Belichick. Even Belichick said some time become Belichick. Because that he failed in Cleveland, if you recall.
Yes, he did.
He didn't work in Cleveland, but he was successful in New England for 20 years. So hopefully Patricia learned his lesson. He got you because his job's on the line. And Lions fans aren't the most patient. We've been waiting for, 63 years for a championship now. So hopefully he'll get it together in 2020.
All right. So here's my thought. I get what you guys are saying. I'll get to Patricia in a second. I am interested to see how Unlin changes the defense, not as far as the scheme of it, but how within the scheme, how it's run, especially the secondary. We struggled against the pass last season. The Lions were dead last against the pass. And Unlin, I mean, you looked at that makeshift defense he had, the secondary he had last year in Philadelphia, and they still ranked 19th in the league. He was there for 5 years as their secondary coach, the defensive back coach, and they led the league or the top 10 in the league in interceptions for three of those 5 years. So I know that that's a key for us coming into the season. So hopefully I can see some big changes in that back end of the defense. When you have the addition of, you know, Trufant and then Harmon and Curse and then bringing in those young guys, you know, Harris, making sure those guys develop, you know, Walker, making sure those guys on that back end, you know, and then bringing along Aurorie and, you know, Kuda to, you know, to get those guys to gel together and with a veteran like Justin Coleman, you know, and if we can turn him loose like we did the beginning of the year, he can play primarily in a slot. He's one of the best slot corners in the league, hands down. So getting to Patricia, I said this in a video, and I'll go back to the coach prior to Patricia with Jim Caldwell. Caldwell had a good cohesion on the team. However, this offseason, I've never seen the Lions cohesiveness look like it has this offseason.
And I agree.
It's more not just football, but it's about people. They care about each other. It's not just like, well, this is my brother, because I'm going to have his back on the field. They care about each other as people. And I haven't seen that on the Lions in a long time.
Me neither.
Ever on this level. So I think I'm excited about the direction of the team and the way Patricia has led them as the head coach and making sure that they're a cohesive unit this offseason.
I like what you're saying there, because I think Patricia also, he got rid of the guys that were, you know, bad mouthing and all this stuff. And we didn't like some of those decisions, but I love what I'm feeling out of this camp. Just like you are. I've never seen this team as together as they are. And I've been watching for a long time. One thing about Unlin though, I want to see how he handles blitzes and stuff. I think that we have better personnel now. We have Daron Harmon over the top. Jamie Collins underrated, because he is one of the best coverage linebackers in the entire league.
Yep.
And I think that helps us to send some people on the blitz, and we don't have to worry about a zone type of a coverage with the linebackers because they suck so bad, you know, that we have to drop everybody to coverage because they just can't cover. You can sit him on somebody. Mm-hmm. You got Coleman. You got Harmon over the top, which frees up Tracy Walker to be that strong safety that he's better at.
Yeah,
everybody they got in the offseason for me really helped this defense and the players that we have drafted to become the players that they were meant to be in the first place. A lot of those guys are playing out of position. And one of those guys is Jared Davis, who I think is going to have a big year going after the quarterback, because I think that's what he's going to be doing.
Yeah.
Yes. So let me ask this real quick. Both of you guys, have you seen the videos? Yeah. I like JD too. I mean, I think he can be a good pass rushing guy. He can be another, what's his name, from the Baltimore Ravens. He used to play for the Ravens a long time. Raven, not Ray Lewis, but the other guy, the pass rusher.
Terrell Suggs.
Yes, that's who I think can be. Another big, strong guy. JD's out of position. Yeah, he played middle linebacker. He played middle linebacker in college, but he was out of position. So I think, you know, position change. But what I asked you guys was, have you seen the videos of Darius Slay getting burned in practice in Philadelphia?
Yes, I did.
I mean, did the Lions get rid of him in time, right time?
That means crap to me.
I agree. It's Jackson, fun to watch just because he watch, said so much stuff against us.
That's trash, man. I mean, you know why? You know why I say that, man? Because really, if you look at it, hell, our wide receivers have been toast and our defensive backs in practice.
He's got a point. He's got a point.
Roasting those guys. especially coming into the offseason. The wide receivers always going to have – the defense is always going to be playing catch-up in camp.
That's true.
Always playing catch-up in camp. So that stuff doesn't bother me at all. I wish Slay the best of luck. That's my guy. You know,
mine too, actually.
And I will always be indebted to Nino because he did me that solid where you guys know the story that I had a plush football I carried around in the military and I deployed with it. And I sent it to Quandre for him to autograph it. And when I sent it back, it had Glover Quinn, Darius Slay, and what was the other guy? The ones get toasted all the time. What was his name?
Nevin Lawson.
Nevin Lawson. It had those guys on there as well. So, so he not only did Quandre sign it, he's got pretty much the whole starting secondary to sign it. So
that's great.
That was pretty awesome. And he sent me a media guide as well. So,
he's a good guy.
He's a good dude, man.
It really sucked that he got traded, but
are you Twitter? Are you Twitter friends with him? You follow him on Twitter? Are you friends?
I follow him on Twitter. I don't follow him anymore on Twitter.
Why?
If you ain't a Lion, I ain't really to be honest. That's just me. Do I feel look at him on Instagram and stuff? Yeah. Do I follow him like that anymore? Nah, because my time is spent right here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My main focus. So I mean, and I don't wish any ill will against him. It's not that. Don't get me wrong. Like, oh, you ain't crap because you ain't a Lion. No, my focus is right here. That's my deal.
I get it.
So, but Patricia, man, and I said in the video, I said I appreciate him as the leader of the team right now. Yep. So, all right. So it's time to move on. Now it's time to play our favorite game. So,
I love this game. Be honest.
Guys, ready for it? It is time for it. Hell yeah or hell nah. So, you ready, my man? Jim, you go first this week, my man.
I'm having fun with it. I don't know. I had all these questions and I had all the answers to them, but you know what? I'm just gonna do it on the fly. Okay.
All right. So you up first? Matthew Stafford will be in the MVP mix. Hell yeah or hell no? Nah.
Hell yeah, he's slimmed down. The arm looks great. He's flicking passes down the field, just touch passes. Right? There were no one else can get it but his receiver. Matthew Stafford was balling last year, and I think he might be better this year. If he's better this year, hell yeah, he's going to be in the mix for MVP for sure, because I think the Lions got a shot at this division. I really do.
Shotty J?
I think when you asked me this before, hell yeah, he's going to be in the running for MVP. And then come back play of the year, too. That's, he has that in the bag if he plays, halfway decent. Because hopefully he got that elite left tackle. This year they had $85 million to protect him. He got the best center in the game. He got a running game, mm-hmm. takes some pressure off. So, yes, hell yeah, he's going to be in the running. He's going to win comeback play of the year. You heard that from me first. And he's going to be in the running for MVP.
I asked that question because Peter Schrager this morning on Good Morning Football said that he was a dark horse and Stafford shot a text to Nate Burleson and said, no, I'm going dark horse, nothing. I'm going for the MVP. So
that's right. That's what he said. I love that. I love that. So, you know, that's that dagger mentality that they're talking about this year. I love that term too.
Ooh. Dagger time. Yeah. I'm up on it. All right. Next up. All right. Here's one we talked about earlier. Jeff Okuda will be a starting cornerback by week 3.
Who you got going first?
Shawnee J.
Well, that's a tough one. If, you know, like I said, it's been tough on him and all rookies and all players. Like I said, no offseason workouts, no preseason games. By week 3, possibly, but if Aurier is balling like they say he is, I'm going to say hell no.
Okay. Jim?
I got a hell yes on this. I don't think Marcus Trufant can stay healthy. I think that's one of the main reasons why. But I got him coming in starting week 2. I think it's going to take him a second or two. Maybe it'll be week 3, but I'm pretty sure he'll be starting by week 3.
Yeah, I think so. Some people say week 5. If you look at some of the reports coming out that the last week of the padded practice, or the first week of the padded practices, he made some big improvements. I just think he had to get his kind of legs up under him. But I think he's going to be a starting cornerback by week 3. All right.
He's too studious not to be.
He is. All right. So next up, Jim, this is for you. Kenny Galladay's contract will make him one of the top paid wide receivers in the league.
I'm going to say hell yes on this. And it's going to be, I'm hearing it's going to be soon, although there's conflicting reports now. But yeah, I think he's going to be top 5. I do paid. He led the league in touchdowns last year. So, I mean, it's not like he's not a great wide receiver already. I think he does get that top 5 money, but I think he deserves it.
Right. Shawnee J?
Hell yeah, definitely. He's going to get paid. The Lions said he's next. After they took care of their elite left tackle, we're going to take care of our elite wide receiver. He's Calvin and Herman Moore 2.0.
I like that comparison.
All right, next up, DeAndre Swift, Shawnee J. Rookie season will be plagued by injury. Hell yeah or hell no?
Well, he's not getting off to a good start, is he? that's why I said bring in Leonard Fournette, because hell yeah, saying, and cut Kerryon, you know. It's this, you got to be tough. Make a Patriot way decision, a tough decision. Get rid of a good player if you replace with a better player. Because hell yeah, it looks like Swift be affected by injuries. And we don't want to be like last year. We had to comb the waiver wire to find a starting running back like we did last year about 4 or 5 times. So hell yeah, you got your running back right now out there for Fournette. Get rid of Kerryon and take care of it early. Yeah.
Okay. So actually, I'm going to go a different way. I'm going to say he's going to be all right. Once he gets whatever this nagging thing is under control, I think he's going to play a substantial role in the offense. So that's just me. All right. So next up.
Wait, Jim didn't answer the question.
Oh yeah, Jim.
You're used to only 2 people.
Yeah. Jim, what you got? When DeAndre Swift season will be plagued by injury.
Hell yes. Mm-hmm. He's been injury prone before. He had injuries in college. You know, he's dealing with something now. The offensive coordinator had said, as I said earlier, you know what? If he can't practice, he's not going to have as many snaps. Now, I want to talk just a little bit. I want to go too far, but we have running backs this year. It's not like we don't. We got Ty Johnson. We got that new kid that we got from Williams, right? Got him. We got Jason Huntley, and that is my dark horse this year. You better watch him, because if he ever gets to play, he may be taking over. I'm just saying.
All right.
Yeah, but that's my just carry opinion. Down bringing Fournette. That's what I say.
There you go with that. All right. I got something special for you later on, Shawnee J.
Oh.
And Jim already knows where I'm going. So that's going to be the last one, Jim. All right. So next one for Jim. Corey Unlin will be a better defensive play caller than Matt Patricia.
I'm going to say hell yes on this, and I didn't let you finish. I did that last time. No, I'm saying hell yes, and I think it's because he's going to dial up a little more pressure because that always helps your corners. I think that it goes hand in hand with pressure and the cornerback ability to cover. You can't ask guys to cover for 5-10 seconds. You just can't. It's not going to work. So you got to get a little bit more pressure on the quarterback. I think he's going to dial up a few more blitzes, a few more stunts, just different things to get to the quarterback this year, and coming from different angles too. So I do believe that we are going to have a better defense this year.
I'm going to say, hell yeah. I think he comes from an aggressive type of a play calling environment out in Philly. I think he's going to bring that mentality as far as aggressive and pressure on the quarterback style to the Lions in the Matt Patricia defense. What you got, Johnny J?
Hell yeah, definitely. You know, take some pressure off Patricia. Even though he was a defense coordinator himself, he's not a head coach. He has too much on his plate, so hopefully he'll help. And definitely, who was a defense coordinator before him, Patricia's boy? Jim Hood.
The Crypt Keeper, Paul Pasqualoni.
Yes. I'll never forget. 2 years ago in 2018, we made this quote in the Detroit Free Press. He says, quarterback sacks are overrated. Yeah. I need that bra, wow. That bra meme, you know. That's yeah. Why Lions had no pressure. So I love the quarterback sacks like I love the slam dunk and the grand slam home run. I love quarterback sacks. So when Pasqualoni said that, I knew right away he's garbage. So yeah.
And you were right.
Yeah, you're right. All right. So, Jim. All right. No, I'm sorry. Shawnee J. Jarrett Davis will play his way into a new deal with the Lions this year.
Hell yeah. I always like Jarrett. You know, people want to get rid of Jarrett. Once again, people in this town quickly call somebody a bum. He's talented, great, you know, great work ethic, great physique and everything. But once again, maybe he's out of position. He better be used in the NFL, the pros, the outside, pass rushing, linebacker, take better ability, you know, of his ability. So, yes, he'll play himself to a contract. The Lions be foolish to let him walk or trade him. So, yes, okay. He will work himself into a new contract.
Yeah, what you got?
Hell yes, Jarrett Davis. You're talking about people coming in shape? That dude's a beast, man. Woo. Dude is huge. He's fast. Thing is, yes. he has been out of position. He's absolutely right. Shawnee J hit it right on the head. He's been out of position. He should be in that outside, maybe even in the Jack linebacker position for me. I don't like him in coverage. I don't think he does a very good job there. And I think he needs to be going after the quarterback. That dude, when he's going at the quarterback, he's like he's shot out of a cannon. He has to kind of settle down a little bit so that he doesn't fly right by him like he's been doing. Yep. But I think he's going to improve this year. And yes, I think he works his way into a new deal.
Okay. All right. So, Jim, this is for you. All right. The Lions will blow out the Bears in Week 1. Hell yeah or hell no?
Hell no. And the Bears going, what? What? That Bears defense is legit. Yeah, I'm sorry. They are. And I think our offense will score points on them. But I think their offense is going to have a little bit of a struggle against ours. I actually think this might be a lower scoring game than people think. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be close. I think the Lions win, but I don't think they blow them out.
Okay. Johnny J?
I'm going to like see hell no lightly, but we're going to get the win. We can still, when you say blowout, what do you think? Blowout, 21 points, 3 touchdowns or more? It may not be that big, but at least 14 points.
14 points.
10 to 14 points. A victory. I don't care if it's the last second field goal. As long as we beat the Bears, I hate the Bears more like I hate the Packers and the Vikings and the Cowboys. As long as we beat them, I don't care.
My wife is a Bears fan, so I got inside Uh-oh. Information. Uh-oh.
Four straight losses to the Bears. Javi Cope's living in the same house with her.
Yeah.
Yeah, it hasn't been fun the last few years, but you know what? September
3rd. That were great.
We're going to get them this year.
Yeah.
Before that was great. The last couple have been sucking, but the last before that, you were the man in the house walking around.
For real. Enjoyed my Thanksgiving a couple of years, but you know.
I think with that, I think it will be, I think my issue with the Bears, they had some turnover in their secondary. They had some people left. And it was kind of quiet, but they kind of left. Like Prince of Mukuyar, he's gone. Yeah, and then he just got cut. So I'm not saying they're gonna blow. I'm not saying hell yeah.
They still got Khalil Mack. So
yeah, so we're still with Khalil Mack and a couple
of guys. He's gone down a little bit.
I don't know. What do you call that? Dan Trevathan and some of the other guys. Yep, they Trevathan. Got a pretty strong defense still. So
they got, didn't they pick up Quinn?
Yep, Robert Quinn.
Yep.
So
they're gonna be tough. That defense is no joke.
Their offense is what's gonna struggle this season.
Yeah, we always make Trubisky look good though, and that's what worries me. We always make him look like a Pro Bowler.
That's where Ivan comes in with his new scheme.
I hope so. And we have better players on defense this year too.
Yeah. So last one, Shawnee J. This one's for you.
Oh.
Bo Benswassel will not make the 53-man roster. Hell yeah or hell no.
He's gonna make the 50. What are you talking about? You be starting. He definitely will make the roster. He better make the roster. You know what? For real, square business. I'm surprised. Now, Jim, I asked Curtis this before. With all that's going on this year, with the COVID, there was no off-season workouts and no preseason. Shouldn't they have expanded the regular season rosters to maybe 60, 65 players? Get more, you know, because there was nobody really had a chance to prove themselves with no preseason games. They still, you know,
Yeah, I agree with that. I think there should have been an expanded roster.
Should have been an expanded roster as well. I think there's more to it than just saying it's going to be an expanded roster. I don't know if that's a collectively bargained thing, because I can't say definitively that it's collectively bargained on what the roster size will be. But I think it's maybe a competition rule, a competition committee rule that they may have to. You know, it has to be voted on. I don't think it's something that the league could just say, hey.
It would mess with your cap, too.
Yeah.
But they got to make adjustments because, like, they canceled preseason and all the off-season workout programs. So
they're allowing, I think it's 12 on the practice squad, and you can bump up two of them at so many times a year or something like that. So you can have a 55-man roster every once in a while.
And then you have they expanded where you can have a veteran player on your practice squad now. Guy was longer in the tooth to be on the practice squad. So yeah, that was the idea.
And so, to make room for Bo, emerge question, put cut Joe Dahl and put the rookies on the practice squad and cut Kenny Wiggins.
No. Yeah, no, you don't need to do all that though. We're gonna keep nine. And we better keep nine.
Bo still he's still in the Lions plans.
Okay. All right, so Jim, the Lions the Lions don't keep Bo Benswassel on the 53-man roster. They send him to the practice squad. What you got?
Hell no. And the reason is he's going to be our backup center.
Okay.
They've been grooming him the whole time this offseason to be the backup center behind Ragnow. Mm-hmm. We don't have anybody else. So Logan Stenberg, they tried him over there, and that did not go well.
Nah.
Logan Stenberg is back where he's supposed to be right now. Guard. Left guard. He won't start. Joe Dahl will get the start over there. I cut Kenny Wiggins. That's my opinion. That's the guy I would say, see ya. And maybe we could put him on the practice squad since you got one of those guys. But no, Bo makes the team.
Bo makes the team. All right. I did a little trolling on Shawnee J. Forgive me, my man. I did some trolling on my man, Shawnee J. That's his boy. And I wanted to mess with him. I think I have to agree with the Jim. I think he's going to be the backup center. I think he's going to make the 53 just to be to have a backup center on the roster. So, all right, guys. That's it we have for hell yeah or hell no. All right. So I want to thank my man Jim for co-hosting with us this week. So Jim, tell the people how they can find you and find your podcast.
Okay, I'm on YouTube actually, and it's called the Detroit Sports Room, and we have a Who's in the Room series, and we have a bunch of stuff on that channel. There's hockey and all kinds of different stuff. Huh?
I was on one of those Who's in the Room.
Yes, you were. Actually, we do, don't we? We gotta set that up, man. We gotta set that up. I just had a guy from the Detroit Red Wings. He was a dude that was there for like 10 years covering the Red Wings, Bill Roos. And he covered the Red Wings from 2006 to 2016 inside the organization as their media person. So it was pretty cool. I had some inside stories and stuff. It was pretty cool. I appreciate that, being able to shout that out. Appreciate that.
Hey, Detroit Sports Room, go out there, check it out. He has some great content over there. And he's a member of the DSA. And they have great content over on YouTube as well. It's always colorful with my man 313 JMO over there. And
yeah, it is.
My man Luke G. And
yep.
They do it up.
They do it up for sure.
It's some very spirited conversations. And
yeah, it is.
Shout out to the home girl Rachel Marie over there as well. She does her thing. So Shotty J, tell the people how they can find you on social media.
I'm always on Facebook. You can find me, Sean Jennings. You see my face, you know, most handsome Sean Jennings you'll find. And I'm also the head administrator of the Detroit The Truest Fan Group. I'm happy to add you also. Check out me and Curtis' page, the Die Hard Den page. It's public. You usually find that. I keep both pages well informed. So keep all you Lions fans, you'll be in the know at all times. You don't have to go anywhere else except for maybe Jim's channel and our platform, me and Curtis' platform.
So you can find us, and definitely I want to thank everyone who's catching this show on YouTube. They're catching it on Facebook. If they're clicking the link on Instagram, if you're listening to the show on a podcast platform, thank you for checking out our content. We really appreciate it. You can find the show on Twitter at DieHardDenPodC1, our Instagram at die_hard_den_podcast. That's the tag they gave us. You can check out our YouTube channel. It's a Die Hard Den Podcast, and our Facebook page. Definitely Shotty J keeps everyone informed on what's going on with the Lions over on our Facebook page. And you can find myself on Twitter and Instagram at CurtisSteele14. So any parting shots out to everyone this evening, Jim?
Yeah, I just want to thank everybody for listening. And I want to thank you, Kurt, and you, Shotty J, for having me, because, you know, it's really cool when you can collaborate with other people that know what they're doing and know what they're talking about and our Detroit Lions, because, you know, not everybody does, you know. So we have such a good time together. And I appreciate that. Appreciate everybody that was listening, and appreciate everybody that tuned in to see this this production that we had today.
All right, Shotty J, what you got?
Well, like I said, I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I'm on NFL starting on time. Go about a hitch, you know, take all protocols, you know, so the COVID won't mess up the season. And I'm also keeping my fingers crossed that the Big Ten season will come back maybe October 10th at the earliest.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're hearing, yeah.
Yes, so we hope. And I hope all college football come back, you know. The Pac-12 will come back. They will reconsider, you know, this season. And I wish even the SEC and the Big 12 well, go be successful. Because I love this. This is my time of year. This is your time of year, football season. Like this weekend, my Wolverines will be playing. No Wolverines.
Oof.
So,
just get to play Washington.
I hope those kids come back safely. I hope they can do it in a way where they can get the kids back on campus safely. I think they had the other week, they had 1,000 cases on Alabama's campus. So, so I want everyone to be safe. So
I do too.
You know,
yeah,
I'm a big, I love football, but I will never put football in front of a person. So that's my mentality on that one. So, but what I want to say, my parting shout is, hey, thank you again, everyone, for listening and watching. And what you always have to do in life, you got to boss up, ball out, and be the best version of you can be that you can. So thank you, everyone. This is Kurt Steele of the Die Hard Den Podcast. And for my man, Shotty J, and our guest, Jim Bardot, we are out.